Well, good morning. Thank you for being here. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We are studying this New Testament book about what it means to be a traveler of the faith, a pilgrim on the Christian journey, waiting for that heavenly home when we will see Christ, when everything will be made right. He'll wipe away all tears. We're so waiting for that day. That is a great Christian promise we have. The book of 1 Peter is all about the sojourner, us here and now living our lives, but yearning for that day, everything will be made right. In the third chapter, it deals with husbands and wives, deals with people of all sorts, every individual. It deals with suffering. It talks about suffering numerous times. It talks about suffering with the greatest climax being in Christ in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. And that's where we're going to start our scripture reading. We're really going to focus on verses 21 and 22. I just wanted to spout that off because it means a lot to me. You know, when I preached on that one verse a few weeks ago, I tried to memorize it and I could not, but now I can't get it out of my head, spending so much time on that great truth about the suffering of Christ, what it has done for us. Today, I'm going to preach on baptism. So before you check out and say, whew, I got off the hook, I already done that, Pastor, slow down. I want to talk about baptism. I want to talk about what the Bible says about baptism. Very often, we as Baptists, we go through this very quickly, inconveniently. And I want to spend some time and explore what God's Word says about baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 18, but really we're going to focus on verses 21 and 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. I really want to spend time on the topic of baptism, and I really want to preach it in the style of G. Campbell Morgan, who is one of the greatest preachers in the 20th century, in my opinion. And he would preach in different ways. In one way, he would preach a topic or a subject. He would, like a gemstone, show you the topic and slowly rotate it so you can see the differing angles and the beauty of that gemstone. I'm going to attempt to do that with you, speaking about baptism. Now, when we talk about baptism, immediately you think about water and the baptistry behind me, which is covered up with a panel. That's what we think about when we think about baptism. Now, the word in Scripture, the verb baptizo, it means to dunk, to immerse, to completely submerge in water. Now, sometimes people hear baptism and they think of sprinkling. So there are some people that think that's the way to do it. There are some that associate baptism with their upbringing in certain Christian traditions. Last week I was watching the Navy and Notre Dame football game, which, by the way, that was a waste of time. They interviewed Joe Montana about visiting Dublin, Ireland, because the game was in Ireland. And he said, we're having a lot of fun doing this, that, and the other. And he mentioned that his grandchild was being baptized in a Catholic cathedral in Dublin. They did that for historical reasons, for family traditions. Now, we are Baptists. We are in the Southern Baptist Convention. We are big on baptism in certain ways. We've got the Baptist faith and message. We say, hey, you better believe in the Baptist faith and message. We got the word Baptist in it. Baptism, baptizo, baptisma is the noun. We talk about the practice of baptism, about dunking somebody in water. And that's a good thing. When someone is laid in the water grave, it demonstrates the reality of a decision they made. That's all it is. It's a public witness. But what it signifies is there was a change in that individual's life where they turned. In Luke chapter 3, verse 3, speaking of John the Baptist, the Baptist, the baptizer, his baptism was all about repentance. In Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and he, John, went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The reality of baptism is not what occurs in the water. It's not what occurs in the creek. A few weeks ago, we had a baptism out at the park. Next week, we'll see two young men baptized. But the miracle of God did not happen in this water, and it won't happen next week in that water. The miracle of baptism happened in their souls when God the Holy Spirit touched their soul and redeemed them from sin and death. The go-to verses on baptism are Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Now, that's what's in our Baptist faith and message, and it has nothing to do with water baptism. Now, my former pastor, Dr. Gaines, he was on that committee to reaffirm the Baptist faith and message. The late, great Adrian Rogers was on the steering committee for that document as well. That has nothing to do with water baptism. They're talking about the practice, the ordinance, the picture behind us. But the reality of baptism, Romans chapter 6, is all about us and God. Do you not know, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In the baptism that comes from God, we are united with Christ, with his death, a death to sin for us. But when God baptizes us, we're promised a resurrection. That just as he brought our souls to life, this great truth we sing about, that one day we'll be resurrected. I want to give you three simple perspectives of baptism. The first is found in verses 20 and 21. We're going to backtrack just a bit to look at some verses from last week. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First, I want you to see the picture of water in baptism. You may say, well, Pastor, you're just putting down water baptism, and now you're going to elevate it. I want you to see the picture of water in the discussion about baptism. And in the prior verses from last week, this is the subject of water. In the flooding of the earth, when Genesis 6 occurred, Noah and his family were saved. It's interesting to note that water in both cases demonstrated the power of God. Now, first, the wrath of God. God enveloped the entire earth. Everything was covered, completely immersed by the power of God, namely his wrath. But not only that, Noah, his family, eight individuals were spared, were preserved by water. Peter says baptism or baptisma corresponds to this in the same way. The Greek word antitypon, it means a type, a press, like you would stamp something for the imprint, meaning baptism has the same characteristics as what we're talking about, the flood. The picture of water, fully immersed. Water is always used in the concept of death and resurrection in Scripture. I'm going to cross to the Jordan, put them in their water grave. But Peter quickly notes that this is not about cleansing the outside of the person. There was a young man in my previous church that was about to get baptized. And in that baptistry, there was the Comet cleaner can sitting on the edge. And his friend said, "Well, what is that for?" And the new Christian said, "That's to wash away our sins." Comet cleaner cannot wash away your sins. So don't even try to wash with that, by the way. FYI. The reality of baptism is not on the outside. It says in 1 Peter, baptism is not about the removal of dirt. It's about the cleansing on the inside, not the external, not the physical, but for the application for a good conscience. What baptism, and really the picture of water in baptism, what it signifies, it's the Rogers slang, "I'm all in." Now that's, unfortunately, that's a gambling term, which I'm not promoting. But when you mean "I'm all in," it means I'm all in. Everything I got is everything is on the board. My college advisor was a former coach. I called him Coach Baker, but he was also in the United States Army during the Korean War, and he was then Lieutenant Baker, and he became an instructor at Fort Benning, Georgia, in the Ranger Battalion. Now, in the Ranger training, there's land, there's some air warfare you've got to experience, how to train, and there's a water phase or some specific training exercise that water's involved. One of the young privates came to Lieutenant Baker and said, "Sir, I don't know how to swim." And Coach Baker said, "That's okay. We'll pull you out of the water. We'll take care of you." And so this soldier crawled across a rope, got to a portion hanging over the water. He let go, and he plummeted. He didn't even try to swim at all. Hearing Coach Baker tell this, he sank like a rock, and they had to jump in and dive to save him. He was all in. He completely trusted that he would be saved, because that's what baptism is, completely immersed. I'm all in. In Mark chapter 10, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, amongst the other apostles, were seeking, how good am I compared to others? How good am I going to be in the future kingdom? And they want to know where they stand. An interesting connection to baptism in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 and following. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand, one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you'll be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." The cup and the baptism, very symbolic, always. The cup signifying suffering. So when James and John said, "Jesus, we'll drink that cup like you do," Jesus, in his infinite knowledge, says, "Oh, you will suffer. In fact, they'll suffer martyrdom." And they says, "Hey, can you get baptized like I am?" They said, "Lord, you know we can get baptized." What he's really saying is, "Guys, are you all in? If you have another venture to do, pursue that. But if you're with me, you're with me and no one else. I'm all in." You see, when a person is baptized in water, they're saying through their public testimony, "I'm all in. I'm following Jesus. I've made a change in John's preaching, repentance of sins for the forgiveness. I'm changed. I'm different. I'm all in." That's what baptism means. I'm all in. That's what it means around the world. So our mission partners in Africa, when when someone trusts in Christ, when they get baptized, that's the deciding factor to kick them out of the family. If you're Muslim, don't you dare get baptized. One of my friends who's a pastor, he and I were in seminary together, and he began to volunteer his time as a Fellowship of Christian Athletes representative at a local school. He led a number of guys to Christ. One such student was a Muslim. And after a person professes faith in Jesus, they believe in their heart, you tell them, hey, there's some things you need to do as a Christian. You need to be involved with a church. You need to get in the Word. You need to get baptized. And so this young man came to Blake, and we had talked about it. Now, we're at a mega church. I mean, on a given Sunday, there's thousands. Huge, huge facility. He said, can you guys sneak me in your church in the middle of the night? And can you baptize me when no one is watching? We said, you're missing the point of baptism. It's the public display. But what would happen if that young man got baptized? His family would disown him. Immediately, he'd be homeless. It's that way around the world, because baptism is the picture of water, of that reality that happens in us, that I'm all in. I've surrendered everything. The cross before me, the world behind me, as we sing. The picture of water. Let's go back to verse 21. Verse 21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only do I want you to see the picture of water, I want you to number two, see the priority of the heart in baptism. You see, baptism, true biblical baptism, and Peter hits on this, is not the physical, it's not the external, it's not the removal of sins through water. The point of baptism is your soul, it's the priority of your heart. You see, God is not concerned about the removal of dirt by water. In fact, oddly enough, there are many religions around the world that think if I just get in the right river, I'll be reborn in another life. Or if I do the right steps, if I do it in the right cathedral. You see, in baptism, it's about the priority of the heart. It says it clearly in the text, verse 21. He wants you to be cleansed, but he wants to cleanse your soul. The moment you say to Jesus Christ, I'm all in, is the moment God himself baptizes you. No man, no church, no denomination. The moment in your soul you say, Jesus, I believe in you as Lord and Savior, I repent, I place my faith in you, that's the moment God steps in and brings you from death to life. That's when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know, as Baptists, we don't like to talk about that guy. We don't talk about that third of the Trinity. Holy Spirit, he's getting off topic. Stay expositional. Don't get off script, Pastor. We're afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because we're afraid of what he'll do. We let the charismatics run amok with that and don't lay claim to the biblical promise of Holy Spirit is the author, the changer of us in regeneration or conversion. You got to be born again by the Spirit. So that moment you trust in Christ is the moment God the Holy Spirit steps in and makes you new and baptizes you. That is true baptism. Let me try not to be on a tangent. My wife's not here to calm me down. One look. We fight tooth and nail over full immersion water baptism, and we don't put up any defense about baptism by God the Spirit. I don't understand that theologically. We're very naive on that. That's enough of that. God wants to cleanse your heart. He wants to redeem your soul. He's not worried about the removal of filth and dirt on the outside. He's worried about the internal. He's worried about your soul. Romans chapter 10, the priority of the heart about baptism. Let me read this out of ESV. I can quote it out of King James, but I want to read it out of ESV. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses, is saved. The act and the ordinance, the practice of water baptism, cannot get you right with God. If you're depending on your baptism to be solid with God, that's not going to happen. When I try to witness to people, I try to make that a practice. I say, hey, tell me about when you've been saved. Tell me about when you started your journey, whatever opening question. Here's what I hear a lot of. Well, I've been baptized. I got baptized at such and such church. Such and such pastor baptized me. I got sprinkled when I was a baby. When in your life did you say to Jesus, I'm all in? That's what I want to know. When did God baptize you? I'm not worried about man. That comes second. But when did God step into your life and redeem you, snatch your soul from the grave through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Tell me. We highlight water way too much. Now, that's a great principle we hold to, but we gloss over the fact that God does the baptizing. Now, if you say, well, I've been dunked in water. If you're depending on that, that's called a works-based salvation. You're saying, well, me getting baptized in water makes me right with God. Can I tell you? No, it does not. Scripture tells us the best we have to offer is filthy rags before a holy God. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 2 out of the ESV translation. If you say, well, baptism, it gets me right with God. It's a work. It's a works-based approach. That's not how we're saved. How are we saved? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God is not concerned with the physical, the external. He's concerned with your heart. That's why we place a priority of the heart in baptism. The picture of water, the priority of the heart. In verse 22, we'll find our third perspective. Verse 22 of chapter 3, who has gone into the world? Jesus, and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. The third instance I want you to see in baptism is the power of God. Not only is it the picture of water, the priority of the heart, it's the power of God unto salvation. Whoever believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus was resurrected from the grave by the power of God. The same way you and I are saved is the power of God, this immense, innumerable power that we can barely describe. Now, Scripture is sufficient, but we can't fully know the power and the greatness of God where we're at. We won't fully know and understand until we're with God. But man, God is so powerful. It's beyond us. To the vilest offender who truly believes, he can redeem them. About a month and a half ago, my family and I went to the beach. And there were a few days we were at the beach in Florida where the water was like glass, like a lake. There were no waves. It was beautiful. Emerald green was the color. It looked so good on social media. I don't know how many of you were jealous when my wife put that picture up there. Don't tell her I said that. But there were days when the ocean water was not calm and tranquil. It was quite the opposite. There were waves a few days taller than I am, rough currents. Yeah, right before we went on vacation, you hear these stories on the news media that so-and-so drowned. They were pulled out to sea, had to be rescued by the Coast Guard. Why is that? Because of the strength of the water. Even when you think, I'm doing good, I can handle these waves, you get pummeled by the immense power of the waves. And we think, well, it's going to be diminished. There are certain nights like, man, tomorrow's going to be a nice, calm day, we'll relax. And then a storm comes off the coast, and more power is displayed. So the immensity of the ocean water just demolished me. I thought, I'm a grown man. I can stand against this wave. I'm here to tell you, no, I cannot. My body tells me, no, you cannot. Think about the power of God. He's going to do what he wants to do because he's so powerful. And the power of God in baptism, just as Jesus was resurrected, so we too are resurrected. Just as Jesus reigns through the power of God, so we too have that sense of security. We share this reality with him. The same power that resurrected him saves us. Not only did he overcome death and conquer sin, pay that final payment for the believer, he went from the cross to the right hand of God. And that's where he's at now. And he is reigning, awaiting the day to return for his elect. And he's doing so through his power. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to reference this. Philippians chapter 2 is a go-to about the supremacy of Christ, how everything is subject to him. But Ephesians chapter 1 fits it quite well. In verse 17, and following, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. When we are united with Christ in baptism, the spiritual baptism, we have this deep sense of security. The same power of God that resurrected him resurrected us and will resurrect us. Whenever I went to seminary and began to learn scripture, began to learn doctrines, I struggled with that. I struggled with, man, am I really saved? Because I believed in Christ, and then once you get into Bible class, you're like, man, I am blown away by this. I had no clue all this was in the Bible. And so I called my dad and I'm like, hey, am I really saved, Dad? And he walked me back through that. And I said, well, what about this? What about that? He says, listen, you believed. You believed in your heart. It wasn't about the words. It wasn't about the circumstances. It's because God does the work. And at that moment, God secures you. Let me ask you a couple questions. Have you been baptized by God? Don't skip to man. Don't skip to church. Don't talk about a youth event. Have you been baptized by God? Have you had that moment in your life when you trusted in Christ? You said, God, I'm all in. That moment when the Holy Spirit changed you. Now, some personal things may have not changed just yet. Have you had that moment in your life when you said, I'm all in. I'm baptized. If not, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is give your heart to Jesus, place your faith in him. Confess that great truth with your mouth. Let me ask you a second question. Have you been baptized by man? If you've already said yes to the Lord Jesus, have you demonstrated that? Have you gotten into the waters of a baptistry? Have you been in the creek? Have you been in a pond? Have you been dunked in a swimming pool? Have you shown the world your public testimony of that inward truth? If not, what's the holdup? Why are you waiting? If you're so proud of Christ, you're so great, gracious for what he's done for you, man, make that decision public. Get baptized. In the book of Acts, Philip witnessed to an Ethiopian eunuch. And he trusted in the Messiah, Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch said to him, "Well, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip, according to the Rogers translation, is like, "I don't know. Let's get baptized." What would hinder you? What would stop you? Man, make that decision. Make it public. Get baptized by God. Get baptized by man. And here's the third question. Because some of you are like, "Oh, whew, I got off the hook today, guys. I've already been baptized by God. I'm saved. I've been baptized by man in a church." Are you living like you're baptized? Are you living like you're all in? Are you living like, man, when you get saved, everything is bright and fresh. That weight is lifted. Man, everything is good. Are you still living like that, or has your spiritual life lost its luster? You've lost your passion for Christ. There's stuff in your life now that you would never said, "I'm going to let that be in my life." Are you living like you're baptized? I invite you today, trust in Christ if you've never done that. But maybe you say, "I've done that, that inward truth, that placement of faith, of giving my heart to Christ, but I need to do that in a public way with the church." Or maybe you need to be a part of the church as a member. Maybe you say, I've done those things, but I'm not living right. I've got obstacles in my way. I've got hindrances between me and God. Let me tell you, come back to the author and perfecter of your faith. Come back to God. As the prodigal ran to the Father, run back in a metaphorical way to God today. Maybe it's not a public decision at all, but maybe it's a private matter, and we're going to pray and sing in just a moment. Maybe you just need to spend some time with God. Maybe there's something you put off. There's a prayer you need to pray. If so, meet with God. Father, we thank you for the truth we know of baptism. And Father, may we not highlight one aspect more than another. And may we truly see it as Scripture describes it for us. And Father, we pray that everyone here in person, everyone listening online, would have had that moment they meet with you where they surrender themselves to the graciousness of salvation in Christ, that Jesus paid their price, that he died and he rose again by the power of the Spirit, by the power of God. And so when we believe, we have that same principle with us, that we're redeemed by the power of God. Lord, if someone needs to make that decision today, Lord, I pray they would. Lord, for those who've never made their decision public to get baptized in the presence of many witnesses, Lord, give them the courage, give them the boldness to do it. And Father, for those who need to make decisions, who need to pray, spend some time with you, who aren't living like they're all in, who aren't living like they've been baptized at all, God, would you work on their hearts with your Spirit? Would you bring words of Scripture to their memory? Or may they see the welcome embrace you're offering them. May they rededicate, may they renew, may they come back stronger than ever. Father, whatever needs to happen, we want it to bless your name. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.